Artist Fiona O'Dwyer recently celebrated the opening of her first solo exhibition at the Limerick City Gallery of Art. The exhibition is entitled I Went Up the Mountain with Somebody Else's Story and Came Down with My Own. And Fiona O'Dwyer is in our Limerick studio right now to talk about her inspiration for the exhibition. And I hope you have that story with you, having come down the mountain with it under your arm somehow or other, Fiona.
Hi, how are you doing?
No, it's about good to speak with you. The word hurts is important here, and this is a noun. This refers back to your father in his childhood in Tipperary in the 1950s. Explain what hurts are where in Tipperary for your dad.
Okay, well, hurts are in actual fact wild blueberries, and that's just what they call them. So it's a kind of an interesting word, and it probably comes from hortleberries or something like that. But that's what they call them.
Did these blueberries or these hortleberries, did they play a big part in your father's childhood then, or in the general childhood of in rural Tipperary in the 50s, as far as you can know?
Well, absolutely. They lived in Tipperary town, and my father and his siblings, my father from the age of six, they'd walk 11 miles probably to the Glen of Aherlow picking these berries. So they'd spend the day picking and then they'd walk back, and they sold them to the merchants waiting in the market yard in Tipperary town.
Did your father talk a lot about this particular set of activities that obviously went on a fair bit as a simple income earner?
He did. I think we were always aware of it, and especially in the later years. My father and mother actually emigrated to America for a spell when they were in their 50s. And I think he was quite amazed to see blueberries in such abundance in America. Mm. And we didn't have them in Ireland then. So I think he thought, well, hang on, these are the berries that I used to collect. And it's then I think he decided to write it down. So I even remember looking for a blueberry bush somewhere around Tipperary town or Clare at the time in the 1990s, and you couldn't buy them even. You couldn't buy blueberries, but you couldn't buy the bushes either. So
yeah, well, now they're superfoods that you have every morning. And you know, I'm just wondering, can we get wild blueberries in Ireland? Because I mean, to my great delight today, there were thorns in the back garden that I was given out about for ages, but they produced some lovely blackberries today.
Very good.
Wild blackberries.
Very good, yes.
Might even have one when I go home tonight with me tea.
Very good.
So can we get wild blueberries, or are they always cultivated?
Well, I suppose I'd say we're certainly not eating them. The ones we're eating are cultivated ones, and they come from all over the world. Well, but for the art, you know, for the work that I travelled back to Tipperary and walked around using my father's account of where he was and where they went collecting to see if there was any there. And you can find small little groups of bushes kind of along the edges of the forestry still. But I suppose a lot of the land would be now cultivated. And my father writes actually in his account that in 1950 he was 13, and they started spraying the forestry started spraying the berries with weed killer, and that was the end of his career in
blueberry picking. Hurts picking.
So you know, I mean, if you think about that in itself, it's kind of a shocking fact, you know. And when we look at, you know, the legacy of that today, we, you know, It's a big issue.
It's disturbing, yeah, it is disturbing. Now, it's hardly surprising then that that blueberries play a very important part in the exhibition.
Yeah.
You've cast in bronze several different species of blueberry. How did you go about that?
Well, it kind of started this time last year, the casting. I took part in a very interesting week in Kerry with a group called Uva Ish, and the week was called Sounding the Bronze Age. So these are a group of artists and metallurgists, archaeometallurgists, who come together. I think this was the 25th year that they had been together. So I started with my little waxes with the idea of doing it. So I didn't really know anything about bronze casting at the beginning of the week, but by the end of the week I was pouring molten metal, and all the methods that they use are Bronze Age technology. So one of the first things I did with another, with James Hayes and Marie Fnuken, we built a pit to actually sit the crucible in, so dug it out of the earth. So, and then you're pumping charcoal with bellows made from goat skin, and that melts.
So very traditional and very historically, very ancient method really is what you were using.
Absolutely incredible. And the moulds themselves, so we started the first step in the process after you've got your wax is making the moulds. And they use, and subsequently I used donkey dung and clay and sand. And then that's fired to kind of 600 degrees to 800 degrees in a pit, so you're tending this fire and you have to burn out the wax, and it's a really beautiful kind of process and very long, obviously.
Yeah, and from what you're describing, not necessarily done in a little forge or in a studio. You can be, were you doing it literally on this in the outside world in the Alba Mountain, or where were you doing it?
No, I was doing well. So I kind of got enough knowledge in Kerry to kind of have a go at it myself at home. So that's I've spent the last 6 months, or I suppose longer than 6 months,
perfecting the method.
Well, I built with someone else. I built a pot furnace at home because I really wanted to be able to reuse it. So I built a furnace out of a bucket and a flower pot, and had a pit. So literally spent days and months and months every day, like hours every day, lighting the fires and burning.
Going through the process.
A huge amount of trial and error because it's, everything and that can go wrong goes wrong.
And you're talking about the pieces that you finish with are tiny little small things, you know. So I suppose in that respect, you can experiment in a way maybe you couldn't with something that was much larger than that. But it's not just these bronzes that are part of the exhibition. Photography and painted art are in there as well, Fiona.
Yes, there's a lot of drawing. I do a lot of drawing in my work, and also photography. And there's a video piece in there as well. So,
Suppose that the ultimate question is, you know, this isn't just about trying to reproduce berries or trying to, you know, hold on to some old method of casting bronze. This, as much as anything, if I'm gathering it correct, was about memory and about exploring your own memories of your father.
Yes, but I suppose what's really important actually to say is that it's very important for me that the memories come through making. So I have these memories passed down in his account, but it's also what's passed on through DNA or blood or so I'm very interested in that. What happens when you're drawing and when you're using certain materials, what comes out? And things do come out because
they're there inside something or somewhere.
Yes, I think
you might finish up by just explaining that title. I went up the mountain with somebody else's story, came down with my own. Whose story did you go up with?
Well, I suppose I went up with my father's and his sibling stories, and you know, it was actually very simply. I was coming down. It was a hallelujah moment on the mountain, and I realised, you know, my own experience of probably emigration, early kind of emigration, echoes my father's experience of emigration. Yeah, you know, it's an ongoing thing.
It's in the DNA to a certain extent as well.
Yes.
That's Fiona O'Dwyer there speaking to me about her exhibition. I went up the mountain with somebody else's story, came down with my own, now on view at Limerick City Gallery of Art. Stays open, it stayed there until August the 25th. Gallery.limerick.ie will give you all of the details there.